Hey, boys and girls. Welcome to the best podcast in the history of mankind. It's Monty's Rockcast. And now, here's your host, Monty Colvin.
Hey, hey, hey. Welcome to the Rockcast. I am your host, Monty Colvin.
Who cares?
So glad you could join me. And unlike other episodes where I have all kinds of stuff planned to talk about, today I have absolutely nothing planned.
Shocking.
You can expect to expect the unexpected.
Wow.
I will be going all willy-nilly on your asses without any thought of structure or organization.
Complete mayhem.
This is what I would describe as your basic run-of-the-mill Ted Nugent style free for all. I'm throwing all the rules out the window and I'm just gonna go for it.
This is going to suck.
So let's get it going with, I don't know, just some random thoughts. Like the other day I was driving home and it was around 100 degrees outside and I see this kid standing on the corner with a sign that said, pizza's $5 a piece. And I felt so bad for him because it was obvious he was just miserable. And his horrible boss had made him wear a red polyester shirt with some black leisure pants. So not only was the heat about to overtake him, he also looked like a nerd. And you could tell by the look on his face, he was just exhausted, and he kept dropping the sign. And I thought, bless his heart, I respect guys like that. He's not just out there begging for money, and he's not waiting at home for Obama to help him. He's out there working, and I thought to myself, you know, I should just drive over there and give him a $20 bill.
Oh, that is so nice.
Of course, I did not do that, but I thought about it.
Jerk.
After all, I have my own bills to pay and things to buy, such as tires for the Hellmobile. And as soon as I save up enough money, I'm going to go to Walmart and buy them.
Huh?
And yes, I shop at Walmart, I'll admit it. They just have a lot of items that are cheaper.
I heard that.
But every time I go to Walmart and I'm standing in the checkout line, I start looking around. And I'm seeing people wearing bedroom slippers and 300-pound women in swimsuit tops. And I'm thinking, do these people look like this all the time? Or do they think, oh, well, I'm just going to Walmart. Everyone there is just like me. They've all lost the will to live, so who gives a crap?
Yep.
Yeah, so there's that. And, I've also been working on my book. A few episodes back, I told you some stories from a book that may or may never come out. And I actually heard from quite a few of you who said, yeah, I'd like to read your book, Monty, about your life. And I actually started writing it about 10 years ago and hadn't worked on it since. And I started with my childhood and got all the way up through the crunchy years. And then I just stopped. But a few weeks ago, I started writing on it again, and it's going well. And I've realized that 10 years ago, I wasn't a very good writer. And so I'm having to rewrite almost every paragraph, but that's okay. I'm really enjoying it this time, and I try to write on it every day for, you know, anywhere from 30 minutes to 3 or 4 hours. And one of the things I'm sure I'll cover in the book also was a question from Sean McClure. He's been listening to the show, and he said, "Hey, Monty, I haven't heard you say how you met your wife, Lindsay." Well, good question, Sean. I actually met Lindsay at a Crunchy show. I was playing a show in Moberly, Missouri, and that's where she lived at the time, and I saw her across the room, and I just went,
yeah.
She just totally took my breath away, and I was actually kind of afraid to talk to her. But when I finally did, I found out that she was as sweet as she was hot. And as hard as this is to believe, she actually found me appealing.
I can't believe it!
So we started talking on the phone and emailing each other, and then we did kind of a long-distance dating thing for about a year. And that was a really good thing, because I'll tell you, if you can talk on the phone for a year to the same person and you don't get bored of them and you don't have a bunch of fights all the time, that's a good sign. And she finally moved to Kansas City with her two kids, and we've been together ever since. And she is just the best wife I could have ever imagined. I mean, she's got it all. She's beautiful, she's sexy, she's sweet, she's intelligent, she's funny. And as my friend and bandmate Dane Sonye says, my wife is badass. You see, she's a great mom and a great cook and all that, but if Slayer or the Black Veil Brides come to town, she will not only go with me to the show, she'll suggest that we get tickets and possibly a t-shirt.
Oh, yeah!
So that's my wife, Lindsay. That's how we met. She's the greatest. She's the sweetest thing in the world. And I love her to pieces. But don't mess with her or get on her bad side, because she will punch you right in the throat. She has not done it to me yet, but I treat her like a queen.
Yeah, you do.
Okay, here's something for you. Remember that band Sugar Ray?
No, I don't.
Well, let me refresh your memory. They had a hit song called Fly. Yeah, you remember that?
Yeah!
Yeah, I hate that song. But here's something you may not know. Before they had a hit single and got all popular and everything, their first album was actually kind of cool. It was called Lemonade and Brownies, and it had a really hot album cover. And they did a video for a song called Mean Machine. And I remember seeing it on MTV back around 95, and I thought, man, this song rocks. And so I hunted it down, and now straight off my iTunes playlist, here is some Sugar Ray that does not suck.
Driving, drinking.
Mean machine! Mean machine!
Drinks good,
All right, I've gotten some cool emails here lately, and the first one is from Joseph in North Carolina. And unlike a lot of you who hate the kind of music I play on this show, Joseph actually wanted to thank me for turning him on to bands like 18 Visions, 4 Year Strong, Ice Nine Kills, and Secrets.
Something's wrong with that guy.
And not only that, but Joseph actually went to Warped Tour this year. And I asked him how it was, and he said, well, it was pretty good, but all those retards doing the karate in the middle of the crowd kind of ruined it for him.
Morons!
Yeah, I know what you mean, Joseph, because Lindsay and I drove to Columbia, Missouri a few weeks ago, and we saw, like, Moths to Flames. And it took us 2.5 hours to get there, but we needed to get there early because our friend Scott's band was playing. And he has a death black metal band called Navalra. And they were really good, but once again, you had those idiots back there throwing their arms all over the place, kicking at the air. And you spend the whole time hoping that they don't hit you. And after a while, I'm just thinking, if they hit Lindsay, I may go berserk. And of course, I know I would get my ass kicked, but I just don't know what I would do. I think I would freaking lose it. Because I hate those a-holes so much. But we hung around for the rest of the show because we wanted to see like Moths to Flames. And they were headlining and they came on like at 8 o'clock. And I kid you not, they played about 5 songs and said, thank you, good night. They were literally on stage about 30 minutes and they just walked off, no encore, no nothing. And so Lindsay and I said, well, the night is young, let's go do something else. So we went walking out of the place, and we see the singer crossing the street. And so to be nice, I yelled at the guy and went, hey, good show, man. And he's like, thanks. And I said, sorry about the crowd, because there was like only 50 people there, maybe. And he just keeps walking, and I said, you know, we drove from Kansas City to see you. And he's like, yeah, we'll be in Kansas City soon. And he just kept walking, and I told Lindsay, you know, these new bands are cool, I like their music, but they need to learn how to treat their fans.
What idiots these people are.
Anyway, glad you like that stuff, Joseph. Good to hear from you. And here's something else you might like. It's a band called Crown the Empire, and the name of their new CD is called The Resistance, Rise of the Runaways. Once again, it's Crown the Empire. And by the way, Joseph, they're going out on tour with Secrets and Ice Nine Kills. And this new album is really good. It's growing on me. It's got some rockers, but it's also got some slow stuff that's really cool. Okay, I had a couple of you, like Jimmy Kennan and Rodney in Memphis, ask me if I had watched the MTV Video Music Awards. As you know, I always watch it so you don't have to, and I tell you about it later. But this year, I didn't even realize it was on, and I missed it.
Oh, good.
Unfortunately for everyone out there, they do have reruns.
Ah!
So I recorded it on the old DVR and watched it later, and holy crap, was it horrible as ever.
Simply dreadful.
The whole thing started out with a triple threat of mediocrity. Three of the biggest female singers in modern music right now, Ariana Grande, Nicki Minaj, and somebody named Jessie J. And Nicki Minaj kicked off an evening that turned out to be a long night of big, huge, giant asses.
Oh, yeah!
Yeah, apparently there's this trend now that the bigger your butt is, the more successful your career is. And believe me, Nicki Minaj has a big, fat career. As far as I can tell, she's absolutely void of talent, but man, was that crowd going crazy. On a sad note, before the show, apparently she had this snake that was supposed to be part of the act, but it bit one of the backup dancers.
Oh.
However, that's not the sad news. The sad news is that it didn't bite Nicki Minaj. After that, you got some of the usual, like Katy Perry winning Best Female Vocalist, and Taylor Swift on stage with about 100 dancers. And I gotta say, that stage full of dancers thing just never gets old, does it?
I will never get tired of that.
Now, the winner for Best Male Vocalist was kind of interesting. It went to that Ed Sheeran guy, or whatever his name is. Little redheaded nerdy guy from England. I'm all for singer-songwriter guys that get up there with an acoustic guitar. That's fine. But he's playing places like Madison Square Garden and selling out arenas. Really? But whatever, he's more talented than Ariana Grande, who won an award for something, which just proves this whole show sucks.
You're hateful.
After that, we got to see Kim Kardashian's boobs. Well, kind of. Kind of like we almost got to see J-Lo's underwear.
Yeah!
In both cases, it was fun for the whole family.
It's just such a blessing. Thank you, God.
And, of course, we couldn't make it through an entire music award show without somebody getting up and taking the opportunity to make a political statement. The first one was a rapper named Common who wanted to spout off about the situation in Ferguson, Missouri. The audience did a moment of silence for Michael Brown, which, if you haven't heard, was this black kid who got shot by the police when he was resisting arrest. Of course, there was no moment of silence for any of the white people who were shot this year by the police while resisting arrest. But pointing that out obviously makes me a racist.
That's right.
After that, we got a comedian from Saturday Night Live who did a really good impersonation of Kanye West. And then Usher had a performance, and he did a really good impersonation of Michael Jackson. Well, kind of. I mean, Usher's singing sucks, but it doesn't matter because he's a really good dancer.
Wait.
There was also an amazing new trend on the awards this year, and it's the number 5.
What do you mean?
We got performances from Maroon 5, 5 Seconds of Summer, and the award for Artist to Watch went to Fifth Harmony. So remember, kids, a word of advice from Uncle Monty. If you want to be successful in the music business, first of all, have a big giant ass.
Okay.
Fill your group with all kinds of extremely attractive people.
Absolutely.
Or just have the number 5 somewhere in your name. Outside of that, it really doesn't matter what you sound like or what you do.
Yo, I guess that makes sense.
Next up, we got a performance by a white girl rapper named Iggy Azalea. And once again, she had a big, enormous butt.
Hey, fat ass!
That was followed by the video of the year, which went to Miley Cyrus for Wrecking Ball. But instead of just walking up to the stage and accepting her award, she instead sent a homeless guy. And he stood up there with three pages of notes and read them to us about homeless people.
It was really enjoyable.
After we had all been sufficiently depressed, it was time for the Video Vanguard Award. And this year it went to one of the biggest asses in the industry, Beyoncé.
Say what?
For the next 20 minutes, Beyoncé did everything she could to be sexy, including grinding on couches and stripper poles, all the while dancing in front of messages that kept flashing on the stage that said stuff like feminism. Yeah, I get it, Beyoncé. You're a feminist. And apparently you want men to view you only as a sex object. You are truly brilliant.
She's just great.
Make no mistake about it, though. I truly, down deep in my heart, completely hate Beyoncé. I found myself watching her backup dancers more than her because they are more talented than she is. She ended the show by telling the audience, "I am so full." And I had to agree with that, because she is so full of herself and of crap and everything except full of melody. Because once again, at the end of the 2 hours of this nauseating hunk of crap, I couldn't sing back to you a single song. The idea of writing memorable music is something that just avoids all these people these days. It's all about beats and electronics and lights and props and backup dancers. And the notion that this is what is passed off as good and popular music, it just sickens me. So if you missed the VMAs, I say good for you. It was 2 hours of my life I'll never get back, and I feel dumber for watching it. And now it's time once again for a little more of the Rockcast Battle of the Bands.
This is terrible news, ladies and gentlemen.
This is where you, the listeners, send me your demos and recordings, and I play it, and then I pick a winner. And today I'm kicking it off with a song sent in by Matt in St. Louis. And what Matt has done is he has taken an old song by the Beatles, taken their voices off the recording, and put his own on there.
That's not fair.
And so, okay, let's check it out, Matt. See what you've got.
If I needed someone to love, you're the one that I'd be thinking of. If I needed someone, if I had some more time to spend, then I guess I'd be with you, my friend. If I needed someone, had you come some other day, then it might not have been like this. What you see now, I'm too much in love.
Well, very interesting, Matt. You did a good job on the vocals, and obviously that song is great. However, unfortunately, using the Beatles as your backup band is strictly prohibited by Rockcast Battle of the Band rules. So you will not be moving on, Matt, but I do appreciate you sending in the song.
Clearly the guy is nuts.
The next entry comes to us from Ryan Sessions and his band State of Mind. Ryan is the drummer, and he says this was recorded back around 1998 or somewhere in there. It's an instrumental tune called Dead Flies. Let's check it out. We'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, on drums, Mr. Ryan Sessions.
Hi-ya!
Well, very cool, Ryan. You guys sound very talented. But do you have what it takes to move on to the next round? Well, we shall see. Up next is a musical project from Brandon Webb, and he calls this the Spiral Glare.
In a room, one boy's crying for his father who just died.
That is the Spiral Glare, and I've known Brandon since he was about 18 years old, I think. I was in a mall down in Houston, Texas, and he comes walking up to me and says, "Hey, aren't you in Galactic Cowboys?" And I said, "Well, yes, I am." And he said, "Yeah, you guys suck." No, not really. Brandon was actually really cool. And you know, I think that song is kind of cool. It reminds me a little bit of that band called Ghost. Kind of dark and psychedelic, yeah.
That's scary.
And finally, Robert, who lives down around Houston also, has a band called Cries of Solace, and he has sent me a song called Perplexity Jones. That's Robert and his band Cries of Solace. And Robert wrote me the coolest email, said he's been a longtime Galactic Cowboy fan, loves the podcast. And he also told me that he played in a band called Greytown for about 3.5 years that was made up of former members from Atomic Opera. And that was very badass, and so was that song. And therefore, Robert, you and Cries of Solace are moving on. You will be in the second round and live to compete another day in the Battle of the Bands. So that song was by Robert in Texas, but he also sent me some questions. And the first one is, Monty, why do you like Killswitch Engage so much? Is it their heaviness, melodies, or musical structure of their songs? And the answer to that, Robert, is yes. I love all those things, and I think Adam, their guitar player, is just one of those musical geniuses. His guitar tone and the riffs that he comes up with are just so freaking heavy. But at the same time, they have these melodies that are just so catchy and you can sing along to it. Yeah! Robert's next question is, Monty, how do you research or find the new bands that you feature on the Rockcast? And the answer to that is, well, I have several different sources. One is YouTube. If there's a band I like, I go on there and watch their videos, but to the side, they'll have suggestions for bands that sound similar. So I've discovered a lot of new stuff that way. Another way is just about every day I go on these websites that have the new album releases. And if I don't recognize the band, usually I'll go to YouTube once again and see if they have a video up. I also check out websites like Blabbermouth. I also listen to a lot of podcasts. Sometimes they'll mention stuff that I haven't heard of. And occasionally even you guys will turn me on to something. For example, Rockcast listener Lacey sent me an email the other day and said, "Hey Monty, have you heard of a band called Anubis Gate?" And she sent me a link to a YouTube video and I checked it out and I liked it. They kind of remind me a little bit of Dream Theater, so I think some of you prog nerds will like this. That was off the Horizon CD, and apparently they've got about 6 albums, and one of the guys played on one of Ginger's albums, but for some reason I had never heard of them, so thank you, Lacey. But getting back to Robert's questions, the next one is, "Hey Monty, do you wish some of these older bands would simply just retire and make way for new artists?" Well, that is a good question, and I guess it just depends on who they are. I mean, like Aerosmith, they still have all the original members, and they're still good. But then you've got somebody like Boston, and it's Tom Scholz and 4 or 5 other people you've never heard of. I mean, is that really Boston?
No!
But then again, it just kind of depends on my mood. Like, I heard the new Night Ranger CD, and I wasn't really into it. It just sounded really tired and dated. But then the other day, Lindsay says, hey, I heard Night Ranger may be playing a free show in a couple of weeks here in Kansas City. And I'm like, really? Night Ranger? Cool, let's go.
Guess what? You're a dummy.
I mean, I know what you mean, Robert, because I see a lot of these bands that are looking so haggard. But if they still have an audience and people still want to see them, well, good for them. But the bands I have no tolerance for are the ones with one original member. The only exception would be if you were the singer, David Coverdale still has Whitesnake. Okay. But I will never forget the day back when I was living in Houston and I went driving by this club that Galactic used to play. And it was a kind of a small metal club, and on the marquee outside it said, tonight, ELO. And there was about a dozen people waiting outside the club to get into the show, and I said, what's the deal with this? And they were like, it's the original drummer from ELO and some other people.
Awesome.
Yeah, if you're playing in a band called ELO and there's nobody in the band named Jeff Lynne, then you should probably just punch yourself in the throat.
Isn't that great?
Now, Robert's last question is a great one. He says, Monty, why do you hate mustard so much? What did it ever do to you? Well, I don't know, Robert. It's not like I had a bad experience with mustard and it scarred me for life. And it's not like I'm super picky about all foods. Mustard's really just about the only thing I really, really hate. I don't like Indian food either, but I would probably take that over mustard. But I'll tell you what, I'm not nearly as bad as some people I know. Like my 7-year-old stepson is such a head case when it comes to food. He would rather go all week without TV than take a bite of cottage cheese.
Yeah.
And then you get these people who can't have any of the food touching each other. And I get it on some things, like I don't want maple syrup mixed in with my eggs. But if I've got some corn and potatoes and some kind of meat, I'll just pile it all together and chow down.
What are you talking about, you deranged idiot?
And finally, a question from Dan the Man Cunningham, who says, hey, Monty, are you ready for some football? Well, yes, I am, Dan. I love me some NFL football, and what I'm doing this year is I'm going to have the Red Zone channel. You know what that is?
I think so. Explain that to me.
Well, it's this cable channel that has all the games, and they just switch back and forth, and whenever a team's about ready to score, they'll go to that game. And I'll have that on the big screen TV, and then I've got a little bitty TV that's down beside it that'll probably have the Chiefs game on it. And the Kansas City Chiefs had a really good season last year, but I'm not counting on it this year. Now, who do I think is going to win this season? Well, I have no idea. How the hell do I know?
Good answer!
But if I had to pick, I guess I'd say the same two teams that were in the Super Bowl last year. If Peyton Manning stays healthy, I'd say Denver's going to be there again. And how can you go against Seattle? They're a great team. But honestly, it doesn't matter to me. I just enjoy watching because it's good TV.
It's a waste of your life!
Speaking of TV, did anybody watch the Emmys?
Yes.
Well, I did not because I can't stand Seth Meyers or most of those Hollywood blowhards. But I was happy to hear that Breaking Bad won. It's still one of my favorite shows ever, and Bryan Cranston rules. However, I can't say the same for Big Brother. I used to love that show, but this season, kind of like last season, became very predictable. They kicked everyone out that I liked and left me with a house full of douchebags. It also seems like everything is scripted and that they're almost reading lines that were written for them. And just when you think they're going to kick out the gay brother of Ariana Grande that everyone in the house hates, he miraculously wins a competition and gets to stick around for the next 2 months.
What a surprise.
But before you get all high and mighty and call me a loser for watching reality TV, just remember, I realize I'm a loser that watches reality TV. So save your breath.
Loser! You're a loser!
And as long as I'm being random, the other day my wife Lindsay went to the store and bought me a big plastic cup.
That is amazing.
Yeah, you see, I like a big cup that holds a lot of ice and water, and you don't have to refill all the time. And so she went and found me something called the Mega Cup.
I mean, this is just incredible.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I'm just mind-boggled.
And it holds 30 fluid ounces, it has a lid, and get this, it came with instructions.
Huh?
Now, what could the instructions for a cup possibly be? Well, they are as follows. Do not freeze this cup.
Okay.
Liquid in this cup could be very hot.
Duh.
Mega Cup is not recommended for use by young children.
Very, very dangerous.
To heat this beverage cup, remove lid and place in microwave.
Oh, yeah, good one. I never thought of that.
Caution, do not overfill Mega Cup.
Dangerously stupid.
Keep cup upright.
I shouldn't have to.
This cup was designed to keep liquids hot or cold for an extended period of time.
It is so ingenious.
And whatever you do, be careful when securing lid, as liquid may escape via the drink hole. Yeah, you thought having a mega cup was gonna be easy, huh? Well, not so much.
It's awful.
All right, I'm gonna end today's show a little differently with a CD review. It's the new self-titled album from Woven War. And man, is it good.
No thought is given to the consequence. Just a need to see what might become. It's like we need to sabotage all of the loving ones to prove control is so far from undone.
Once again, the name of the band is Woven War. They're on Metal Blade Records, and it's basically the members of As I Lay Dying with a new singer. And I did not expect to like this as much as I did, but this is great. I love the harmony vocals, and I love the heaviness, and I wish more bands would do this kind of thing. So that's Woven War on Metal Blade Records. Go check that out. I'm going to leave you with one more from that album, but I will be back soon. If you want to get a hold of me, go to my website, montycalvin.net, or you can find me on Facebook and be my friend.
Well, no thanks.
But that's going to do it for me for now, but I'll talk to you soon. But until then, this has been Monty saying take care. Don't let anyone tell you what to like, unless it's me, and
rock on. This has been Monty's Rockcast.
Is your head not exploding right now?